Amen. And I'm so glad you're all here this morning. We need our God. Amen. Sometimes, you know, we think that this is just if we've been in at any time, it's routine. But we need to understand that every day I need God more and more. Amen. I need him more than I did 30 years ago. So I want us to go before the Lord in prayer. We want to ask God to touch us and speak to every heart here today. And touch all of our teachers and bring anointing upon them as they teach the word. Folks, pray for our teachers that God can continue to move and bless in a mighty way through our Sunday school. Amen. We need our generation to grow up serving God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we want to build them, not fix them. Amen. Amen. So let's ask God to bless right now. Heavenly Father, we love you. God, we thank you, Lord God, for another opportunity as we come and worship you today. Lord, in our corporate worship, I pray, God, that you just bless the church today as we, Lord, as we worship you. Lord, I ask you to put anointing upon all of our teachers. God, speak to every heart, every ear. Lord, let them hear your word. And Lord, not only hear, but apply. And I give you praise and glory today. We want your will to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to continue in our series of servanthood. And today we want to talk about the servant as a giver. The servant as a giver. Let me tell you something, folks. Every time we talk about giving in a church, people kind of like freeze up and get all tense. But let me tell you something. There's no greater way to allow God to use you than to allow God to use you to give. In any way. Now, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about in every aspect of your life. Be a giver. Amen. You will never regret being a giver. Amen. We don't want to always be, as I always, an example, I always like to talk about the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea receives, but there's no outlet on the Dead Sea. And you know what's not in that sea? Life. When you don't give, you don't really live life. Amen. You need to be able to give. There's a lot of minerals and there's a lot of things in that sea that you could, that are useful, but there's no life. And so, folks, we need to understand, I want to be what God wants me to be. So we need to be, Jesus offers a fresh and much needed invitation in our me first generation. Be a servant. Give to others. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, Philippians chapter 2. See, without question, folks, it is attainable to be a giver. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and verse 5. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. That scripture says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Let nothing. That nothing means that, just nothing. Okay? Folks, we need to stop letting the two strong tendencies of selfishness, which is strife, and conceit, which is vainglory, control us in our actions. These things control us because we are selfish. We are conceit. Turn the statement around. If we do it through strife or vainglory, it is nothing. Right? We must replace them with the humility of mind. You say, well, how do you do that, Pastor? Well, by regarding others as more important than ourselves. Now, that's easier said than done, right? But we have to learn to do that. We want to regard others more important than ourselves. And I'm not saying that to say that we don't take care of ourselves. Amen? But what I'm talking about is learning to just be a giver. Learning to understand that through giving, God blesses me. Amen? And we want the blessings of God. Anybody here don't want the blessings of God? we want the blessings of God in our life. So if we just learn to understand that I want to be a blessing to others, I want to put them before myself. Because this human nature is the total opposite. And God is not here for that. He's here for us to overcome that. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. So by regarding others as more important than ourselves, we have a humility of the mind, all right? By looking for ways to encourage, okay? So we want to look at other people as more important than ours. How do you do that? By encouraging them, by supporting them, by building up and to stimulate other people to live for God. Amen. We need to do that. We need to try to help. Now, I'm not talking about allowing people to take advantage of you. Some people will do that, okay? But it's doing it in a wise way where you're helping people and you're not, there's the word I want, I can't think of it, but anyways, you're not supporting them and not doing anything for themselves, okay? We want to, when you encourage to try to help people, if they're not trying to help themselves, then you're not doing anything. You're spinning your wheels, right? They have to be doing things to help them to get better. So what that does, this requires an attitude that would rather give than receive. Now, we all like to receive, but we need to work on it. If we want to be what God wants us to be, we want to be successful in those things, we need to work on trying to help give than always receiving. See, what God is looking for is conduits, all right? He's looking for people that he can use to bless other people. Now, how many would like to be able to do that today? Think about it. Think about it, folks. When you allow God to use you to give to people and to help people, you're also blessed, okay? Growing up in the country, we lived had the old country roads, and you ever drive down through the country roads and you see the ditch lines? That's a place you don't want to drive. All right? You don't want to drive in the ditch, right? So, but those ditches need to stay maintained. So every few years they come out with a grader and they dig out those ditches because they get filled up. But there's places that people need to get across that ditch line, okay? And my home was one of those places. Our driveway at the bottom of our, we had a hill, we had a driveway at the top and at the bottom. But the bottom had to have what's called a conduit pipe. And what that does is it allows that ditch to still operate where water can flow through that conduit pipe, but it also gives us access to go over. Now, when water would go through that conduit, it would splash all over that conduit. So this is what I want you to picture. God using you as a conduit. He's going through you to bless somebody else. But as he goes through you, you are getting splashed on. Okay? So I hope I'm drawing you a picture here. That's what I want God to use me as. I want to be a conduit to where God can flow through me to other people. And folks, what I encourage you to do is you need to come to church and look around and say, who can I bless? Who can I be a help to? Who can I be a strength to and encourage to live for God? Okay? It's more than just coming to church, sitting on your pew, hearing the word, and going home and say, I got mine. Did you help somebody else get theirs? Think about if we're all in tune, helping each other. How God could truly bless. And I'm telling you this here. If you get anything today, get this. God wants to use you to bless. Are you allowing him to do that? And so that's what we need. So it requires an attitude that would rather give than receive. Okay? It is that attitude. It is that frame of mind, folks, that determines ahead of time to give rather than receive. I want to give rather than receive. So first, let's look to see if this is unselfish lifestyle and if it's biblical. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 10 through 13. Romans 12, 10 through 13. Be kindly affectioned one to another. With brotherly love, in honoring, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. I think Scripture shows us that that's what God wants, a lifestyle of unselfish lifestyle of giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 through 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Philippians chapter 2, 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Folks, I'm telling you, God wants us to be a blessing to others. Get out of your homes and be a blessing to others. Amen. Get into people's lives and help them. Talk to your neighbors. Give them Bible studies. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Let us not consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let us consider to one another. I'm sorry. Did I say not in there? Let us consider one another. I'm sorry. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. God is very clear what he wants us to do. Do we want to do it? Amen. Can we be unselfish in that area? You see, unselfishness is that authentic humility that accepts who and what we are and allows God to do all the rest. Amen? Accept who and what we are and allow God to use us. So how should servants give? How should servants give? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 through 5, it says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Now hear what it's saying. It's talking about how bad off they are. And then it says, they abounded above their power, their ability. For to their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. You see, in this account, Paul is collecting money for a hurting congregation in Jerusalem. Specifically, he is in the region of Macedonia. And what is significant is that Macedonia was a very poor region to begin with. Yet, the Macedonians were so concerned over their brethren in Jerusalem that they were in need, that these people truly gave. Now let's look at the characteristics of their giving, that their giving demonstrates authentic servanthood. You see, a great proof of true servanthood is anonymity, okay? Not giving to make a name for yourself. No one individual is highlighted. No names were mentioned. No specific church is mentioned, simply the churches. And when we practice the art of unselfish living, we prefer to remain anonymous. And a second part of giving is expressed in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2 and 3. Says that in the great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord. So when they gave, they overflowed in the process. They gave liberally and sacrificially beyond their ability. They gave with sacrificial generosity. You see, this giving involves more than money, folks. It includes us, our time, our energy, our compassion, our strength, our love, our hope, and even at times, our possessions. Come on. The second aspect of unselfish living is a willingness to give generously and sacrificially. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3 through 5, they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And I can testify that they did it because they wanted to, and not because of nagging on my part. They begged us to take the money so that they could share in the joy of helping the Christians in Jerusalem. Isn't that awesome? Paul said, look, they gave because they wanted to, not because I got up there and nagged them to give. They gave because they wanted to. They begged us to take the money because they wanted to help. And see, now, why did they beg? Well, Paul saw how bad off they were. You know, and sometimes you're like, you know, these folks could use this money as well as the church over here could use it. Or whatever they gave. I don't know what all they gave, but whatever it is they gave, they begged Paul, please take this to them. They need it. They gave voluntarily without prompting and without pushing them to give. See, that's what God is really looking for. Okay, there's times, you know, that we come up with things, we ask people to give sacrificially, da-da-da. God is really looking for somebody to say, look, I want to give this. I want you to take it. I want to be a blessing without the prompting, without the pushing. See, a true giving servant reaches out without having to be invited. Come on. Why? Because they sense deep hurts without being told to reach out and help. They're sensitive to the Lord, and God can speak to them and prompt them without having to have the pastor or whoever's in charge, you know, come on, folks, you can do this. God could bless you. No, you need to be sensitive. Lord, I want to be such a good servant that I want you just to lay it on my heart, and I will do it. Okay? They sensed the deep hurts without being told. They sensed hidden needs and responded without being told. A true servant looks for ways to give without being asked. Amen? 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 says, every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. How? How do we give? Not grudgingly. Or not out of necessity, for God loveth what? A cheerful giver. Okay? What is a cheerful giver? A hilarious giver. That's what that is. Look it up. It's a hilarious giver. So when you're giving, you just have this joy about you. God, I can't wait to give. Or I can't wait to go and just go help somebody do this or do that. Whatever it is, you're giving of yourself. The fourth characteristic of a true servant is personal involvement. All right? And here's what I keep pushing to this church. Get involved in people's lives. Well, Pastor, I can be hurt. You can get hurt. Yeah, you can get hurt. Your kids hurt you sometimes, but you still love them. All right? I've been in this all my life, folks. I've been hurt many, many times, but I'm still here. Still standing. I'm better off for it. Right? Come on, folks. It is impossible to give to others at arm's length. Okay? You have to get involved. Personal involvement is essential. It's not optional. It's essential. It usually involves adapting ourselves, schedules, and ways to fit into the needs of others. Sometimes we just think we're so busy, we don't have time to get involved. You can make time. Come on. Sometimes you just got to push things aside. And you know, there's times when I'm trying to get things to go on my lessons and stuff like this, and my wife's like, God will help you. Let's go. All right? Let's just go. Come on. God will give you the anointing you need. And he has. He's pulled me through many, many times. Okay? God knows what he's doing. Personal involvement, folks, is the proof of our authentic desire to serve and to give. All right? So, listen. Talk is cheap. Actions cost you. Amen? So it's easy to talk about what we need to do. What are you doing about it? We have to get involved. So how much does giving cost? Amen, sis. Giving cost. Luke 9, verse 23 says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. You see, folks, we don't wear a little cross around our neck. We pick it up every day. Okay, why? Because you're living a sacrificial life as a true servant giver. Amen? You're carrying your cross around every day. Following Jesus Christ is a costly, unselfish decision. You're not doing it for fame and glory. Come on. It calls for a radical examination of our self-centered lifestyle. Amen? First off, those who desire to follow must come to terms with self-denial. Do you really want to be what God wants you to be? You have to come to terms with, I'm not going to be all in this for myself. Come on. You see, folks, there's something to be said about helping and being a blessing to everybody you can. Amen. Does it take a lot of work? It sure does. It takes a lot of hard work and labor and just pushing yourself sometimes. But I wouldn't trade it for anything. Come on. We have to be what God wants us to be. And some people have asked me over the years, why do you do it? Well, I feel this. I feel I'm a blessed man, and I want others to be blessed also. And if I can do it any way to help people to be blessed, that's what I want to do. That's why I'm here. If I wanted to be selfish, I grew up in the country. I could still live in the country, probably have a nice yard, keep it mowed every week, you know, build me a garage, tinker. Come on. We've drove through nice countryside sometimes, and my wife's like, this is almost selfish. You know, but when you're just there and you're right in the grind of it every day, amen, you're there where God wants you. Do you feel peace like you've never felt? Amen? And you don't want to trade it for anything. Is it frustrating at times? You bet it is frustrating at times. You pour yourself into people, and it just seems like, what happened? Where'd it go? Amen? But there are people that stick, and they're worth it. You keep applying. So following Jesus Christ is costly. It's unselfish. It's a decision you have to make. And it calls for radical examination. Am I willing to give? If I'm going to do this, I gotta make up my mind. I'm willing to do this, and I'm not going to quit. Amen? And so you got to first, those who have a desire to follow must come to terms with self-denial. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that they may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Amen. So we have made up our mind. Amen. We've taken inventory and we realize that I must come to terms that I am going to have to be in self-denial of myself. I'm not always going to get my way. Amen. All right. The second thing is, this decision to give ourselves must be a daily matter. It must be a day. It's like, I'm not going to skip a few days here and then I'll get back into it. No. Every day. If something comes up, I'm not saying every day something comes up, but you have to be willing. All right, I'm back in the battle again. I got my rest. I'm back at God, whatever you have for me today. Okay? So, you know, I'm kind of trying to clarify that because it's not every day that things hit you, but you have to be ready if it comes your way. All right? So it is a daily matter. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31. I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. What is he saying? Okay, not my will, but thine be done. This flesh wants to be pampered. Are you going to pamper it every day? Or are you going to say, all right, flesh, you're not getting your way. You're going to do what is best for my spiritual walk, not my physical. That's why Paul said, I die daily. Now, the third thing, it means that we must walk the path that he walked and live the life that he lived. Talking about Jesus. It calls for a commitment. 2 Corinthians 8, 9 through 11. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I gave my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. All right, once begun, once we begin it, we have to finish it. Amen? We must obtain. We must obtain that goal that we set out in the beginning. You make up your mind, I'm going to win the gold. Amen? I'm going to finish this up. You have to make up your mind. I was just talking to somebody this morning. You got to make up your mind. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to live this way. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. And you can't stop halfway through. You know, sometimes you get into battle and you're like, oh man, did I really? This what I chose to deal with? This what I bit off? I'm out of here. No, you made up your mind a long time ago. This is what I'm going to do. I'm not quitting now. While you had your mind, okay? So we have to understand, it's worth it, folks. It's worth it. Amen? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. When you don't feel like laughing, you're doing it. You're giving to God because that's you want to be a blessing. God loves a cheerful, that means hilarious giver. Hilarious. God promises to those who give bountifully. Proverbs 22:9, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Folks, we are never more like God than when we give. Come on. Think about that. We're more like God when we give. Amen. You can't get any closer to being like God than when you give. Because that's what God is. He gives of himself. He's a loving God. He just loves to bless his people. Amen? And so these are the things that we want in our life. We want to be able to give, to be a blessing and a help. And is it always easy? No, it's not always easy. But it's well worth it. Amen? And I promise you, if you get to that place in your life where you can be here, what we're talking about today, what God wants you to be, you will be so happy and so content and so thankful that you followed that path of being everything you could be for God. Amen? Amen. I'm so thankful for the life that I grew up. My parents were always being a blessing and a help and a giving. Amen. And I carried that over into my life. I determined that that's what I want to be. Amen. And I wanted my boys to want the same, and they do the same. Amen. So it's a great life, and you want to live that. Is it always easy? No, it's never been always easy. Amen. There's a lot of people think you're out of your mind. I probably am. But I'm happy being out of my mind. I love living for Jesus Christ. And people have asked me this, I don't know how many times, but I've always said, why do you do what you do? Well, I feel blessed. I am a blessed man. I have a beautiful wife who loves me, and she's devoted to me no matter what. Amen. She's got my back. Amen. That you can't ask for anything better than that. All right. She encourages me to be better every day. And so, and then I have a beautiful family, my boys and my grandkids and stuff. I am a blessed man. And there's a lot of people that don't have that in this world. And if I can help people to attain that, I feel blessed. Amen? And all it is I'm just telling you, if you just do these things, because this is the things that I've focused on, and you know my verse. What is it? Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. That's something that we ought to live by. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, what is the kingdom of God? Just what we talked about today. And all these things throughout this teaching and these things. Be a servant. Be what God wants you to be. Amen? And so I love living for the Lord. John 3:16. Amen? I just said a minute ago that we are never more like God than when we give. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave. He gave. We don't have to finish it. He gave. And we see what he gave. Amen? He gave of himself. Think about it, folks. He came on this earth, was laid in a feeding trough. Come on. He was laid in a feeding trough. Amen? And that was the start of his life. He came from the riches of glory down here to this earth to give. And he just kept on giving and giving and giving. His mom was ridiculed in the streets because she was with child out of wedlock. People looked back down on her. Well, you try to explain, this was God. No, I don't want to hear it. We know what you did. And so she was belittled and looked down upon. And wherever they went, they were carpenters. They weren't rich. Okay? So his life was of ridicule all the time. All right? And he never even had a place to lay his head. He had no home. As a young man growing up, what do we want? We want to have a nice family, a good job. Have some kind of a status in the community. We want those things. He didn't have that. He gave of himself. Why? So that we could receive. And we can, in return, give to others. I just want to encourage you today, folks. Examine your walk with God. See where you're at. When you're helping, if you help, do you help them begrudgingly? Or are you glad to go do it? If your spouse is helping, are you glad that they're helping? Are you behind them? Are you encouraging them? You don't, come on, get home. You're always hanging out. You're always doing this. Be glad they are. Join them. Join them. Be a part of it. Be able to help people. Do Bible studies. Get to know your neighbors. Help your neighbors. Do whatever you can to become friends with them so that you can win them. Your coworkers. You know, I used to talk to people on the jobs and stuff like that. Man, you need to meet my wife. How about you and your wife coming over? Your wife would love my wife. These kind of, tell them how blessed you are and help them to want to have what you have. And why do you have it? Because you're a servant of God. Amen? Are you a servant of God? You know what? You can't live for God and be lazy. Come on. You cannot live for God and be lazy. We have to get up off our duff and get into battle. You cannot win battles in your life by sitting around. You want the blessings of God in your life, get up and get involved. But, Pastor, that takes time. Yeah, it does. What are you teaching your kids? That, hey, we're just going to sit around the house all the time and cater to ourselves? What are you teaching them? My poor boys, there's people all the time in my house. People living with us all the time. But look where they're at. They are thankful today because, and they are what they are. And you folks know them. And so it's part of being a part of the ministry. You have to be in it to win it. Come on. You have to be in it to win it, folks. And we see in Scripture what God wants. Are we going to line up with that Scripture? Are we going to be what God, or are we just going to pick and choose what we want in living for God? I promise you, folks, you're not living for God if you're picking and choosing. You got to accept it all. Take the whole ball of wax. Amen? You guys are quiet on me here. We have to be involved in ministry in order to be success in ministry. Praise the Lord. And I promise you, so there's a lot of things, folks, that we can run a lot of problems in our lives. But if we get involved in the things of God, it eliminates a lot of that. It really, really does. Because you're busy. Your mind is not the old saying, the mind is the devil's playground. An idle mind is the devil's playground. Keep that mind busy. Keep that mind focused on the things of God, doing what God wants, and He will bless your life. Amen. Amen. Amen.